Our New Testament reading is taken from the Gospel according to Matthew, reading from chapter 2, verses 13 to 23. Let us listen for God's word. When the Magi had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who are trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene. Amen. We have spent the past few weeks right in the middle of the Christmas story, enjoying all the wonder that surrounds the birth of Jesus. By now, we may think we have heard everything this story has to tell us. But actually, there's one thing more. You see, the Christmas story does not end when the wise men head back to their own country by another way. There's one final part to the story that we need to be aware of. It's the part that has to do with what happens next to Joseph, Mary, and Jesus. After the wise men deliver their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, an angel appears to Joseph in a dream. By now, Joseph is quite used to angels speaking to him in dreams, so he takes this very seriously. And that's a good thing, because the angel has a very serious message to give him. The angel tells Joseph, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and escape to Egypt." There's a very important reason why this family needs to get out of Bethlehem immediately. There's no time for them to wait around. They have to drop everything and leave. That's because King Herod is going to search for the child to try to kill him. Herod is so determined to get rid of the child that he gives orders to his soldiers to kill every boy 2 years old and under in the area of Bethlehem. This is an unthinkable atrocity. It is a crime against humanity. It is pure evil. It seems out of place to have evil like this show up in the Christmas story. I'm sure we would all prefer if we could cut this piece of the story out. We like the parts of the Christmas story where all is calm and all is bright. We like thinking about the joy and the peace of the Christmas message. We like to focus on the shepherds and the angels and the baby in the manger. The last thing we want is Herod showing up to ruin our happy Christmas. But even at Christmas, we can't avoid dealing with the likes of King Herod. Herod shows up to remind us that even at Christmas, there's no way to escape the real world. In the real world as we know it, Herod shows up again and again. He shows up wherever there are rulers and governments who act in evil ways that run completely against the will of God. These are governments that have no hesitation about using terrible violence against their own people. These are governments that are not satisfied with anything less than total control of people's lives. These are governments that commit atrocities and crimes against humanity without thinking twice. What the Christmas story is telling us is that Jesus is born into a world where this kind of evil cannot be ignored. In fact, it's because there is this kind of evil in the world that Jesus had to come to earth. The world we live in is a world that needs to be saved. It's a world that needs to be redeemed. It's a world that needs a savior. It's not a surprise, then, that as soon as Jesus arrives in the world, Herod and his kind want to fight against him. There is no place for evil in the kingdom of God, and tyrants like Herod instinctively know it. They know that they don't fit in a kingdom of love and peace, so they want to stop this kingdom from taking over. They want to fight against it with every evil power they have. As Herod is about to set loose his unspeakable violence against innocent children, the right thing for Joseph to do is to escape to a safe place with Mary and the child Jesus. In Egypt, they can find that safe place. In Egypt, they will be able to find a large Jewish community, especially in the port city of Alexandria. There, they will be among friends who will be able to help them. There, they will be out of the reach of King Herod's violence. There, they will find a place of refuge. So in the middle of the night, they escape into the darkness. There's no time to say goodbye. There's no time to gather up all their belongings. They have to leave in a hurry. That's the only way they can be saved. There's a name for people who escape to a place of safety. The name is refugee. By escaping from King Herod, Joseph, Mary, and Jesus have become refugees. Over the past few years, for reasons I don't fully understand, the word refugee has unfortunately become a word that many people see as a negative word. Some people seem to look down on anyone who is a refugee. They seem to think that a refugee does not deserve respect. They seem to believe that a refugee should be treated with suspicion. This kind of attitude seems to be based on a misunderstanding of who refugees actually are. In 1951, the countries of the United Nations got together and adopted a convention on refugees. They said that a refugee is someone who has a well-founded fear of being persecuted for reasons of race, religion, nationality, membership of a particular social group, or political opinion. In other words, a refugee is not someone who was looking for a loophole in the immigration system. A refugee is not someone who was trying to jump the queue. A refugee is someone who is persecuted, someone whose life is actually in danger if they go back to the country they came from. According to this definition, Thomas Helwys and John Smith were refugees. Thomas Helwys, John Smith, and a few of their friends left England in the early 1600s and went to Holland. They went to Holland because in England they had a well-founded fear of being persecuted for reasons of religion. They did not want to go to the official church that the king told them they had to go to. Because they met in a secret church that the king did not approve of, they were in danger of being arrested. They found refuge in Holland, where they had more freedom. Thomas Helwys and John Smith are known to us today as the very first Baptists. And before they were even known as Baptists, they were refugees. Escaping persecution and finding a place of refuge has been part of the Christian story right from the very beginning, all the way back to what happened in Bethlehem. There were no refugee hearings when Joseph took Mary and the child Jesus to Egypt. But having attended quite a few refugee hearings over the last little while, I can easily imagine what such a hearing might have looked like. I could just picture the immigration judge giving his decision. The claimant, Joseph Carpenter from Judea, claims refugee status on behalf of himself, his wife, and his infant child, Jesus. The claimant says that if his family is forced to return to Judea, they will be persecuted on religious and political grounds because their child has been called the new King of the Jews. I find this claim to be credible, and because the government in Judea is the cause of their persecution, it would be too dangerous to send them back. I hereby accept their claim to be refugees, and they are allowed to stay in this country in safety. We worship a God who gives refuge. As it says in the opening words of Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength. God is the one we can turn to in times of trouble. God is the one we can turn to when we need a place of safety. This is not the same thing as saying we will never go through difficult times. We live in the real world, which is still a place where evil is at work. We cannot live as followers of Jesus without finding ourselves under attack from that evil. But we can know that God is with us in the middle of those attacks. God gives us strength to cope with what we are going through. And God also assures us that he will never leave us or let us go. And in the end, our future is safe in his hands. Because we belong to a God of refuge, that has implications for how we live our lives as Christians. It means that we too need to be ready to offer refuge to those who need it. Corrie ten Boom became very well known for writing a book called The Hiding Place. The hiding place she was referring to was the house where her family lived in Holland during the Second World War. The ten Boom family were deeply committed Christians. They served God in every way they could. Before the war, they were known for providing a place to stay for children whose parents were doing missionary work overseas. But when Hitler's army took over Holland during the war, the Ten Boom family turned their home into a different kind of refuge. Their home became a hiding place for people who were being hunted by the Nazis. Many of these people were Jews who were in danger of being sent to concentration camps. At any given time, there were usually five or six people being hidden in the 10-boom house. These individuals would stay there until they could be moved to another, safer location. It's estimated that during the war, the 10-boom family saved the lives of around 800 Jews and other refugees. Eventually, Corrie ten Boom and the other members of her family were discovered and arrested by the Nazis. They had known all along that this was the risk they were taking. But they were convinced that God had called them to do this. They were convinced that God had called them to make their house a place of refuge. Corrie's father and sister died in the concentration camps. But she survived, and the book she wrote about her experience remains a powerful testimony about what it means to follow Jesus. Reaching out to refugees with a helping hand is not just the right thing to do. It's actually something that brings us very close to Jesus. Later in his life, not long before he was arrested, Jesus said some important things to his disciples. He talked about the day when the Son of Man will come in his glory with his angels and will gather all the nations before him. He will then separate the people into two groups, just like a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. He will then say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the people on his right will say, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" And the Son of Man will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Welcoming the stranger, giving a place of refuge to the refugee. It is through doing such things that we meet Christ himself. We can see Christ himself in the face of the person who is in need, in the refugee who comes to our church today. We can see nothing less than the reflection of Christ. We can see the reflection of the one who, as a child, was a refugee in Egypt. And that will confirm for us, in the very depths of our souls, that Christ himself is with us in this place. Amen. Let us pray. O God, you are our refuge and strength in times of trouble. You meet us in our distress and carry us when we cannot manage on our own. We thank you for your merciful love, and we pray that by your Holy Spirit, you will guide us to share that love with others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.